In the name of the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit. Hail Mary, full of grace, the Lord is with thee. Blessed art thou among women. Blessed the fruit of thy womb, Jesus. Holy Mary, Mother of God, pray for us sinners, now and at the hour of our death. Amen. Come, Holy Spirit, fill the hearts of your faithful, and kindle within us the fire of your divine love. Send forth your Spirit, and they shall be created. Let us pray. O God, who instruct the hearts of your faithful by the light of the Holy Spirit, grant us by the same Spirit we may be truly wise and ever rejoice in his consolation through the same Christ our Lord. Our Lady of the Rosary, Saint Joseph, Father Bruno Lanteri, Saint Ignatius, Saint John the Baptist, all God's angels and saints. In the name of the Father, the Son, the Holy Spirit. Well, good evening. So this evening conference is going to be a little bit different in the sense that the first quarter of our conference is going to be on what we're going to be doing on the day of our consecration. So we're going to spend a block of time on that, then we'll enter into how do we live out our consecration? How do we live out our consecration? So I'd like to get down to how are we going to consecrate ourselves to Mary? What's the specific ceremony? Now, many people consecrate themselves to Mary by going through this book or the book of St. Louis de Montfort or the book by Father Mike Gately or St. Maximilian Kolbe. In other words, they just do it by themselves. That's why I did it the first time in 1976. I did my consecration with my mother in New Hampshire. 76, I was just 20 years of age, and we did the preparation following in detail the steps of St. Louis de Montfort, because I hadn't written this book yet, okay? And then, on the feast day of the Assumption, 1976, I made my consecration, and then I wanted to become a priest, so Mary motivated me to want to become a priest. It works. It works. So most consecrations are done privately as such. But you have an advantage because this advantage is that the person that's leading this consecration is your truly, and I happen to be a priest. No? So there's a blessing, the fact that a priest is leading you through this. So that means being a priest, I do it in the context of the Mass. That's the way it's done. Most people just do it privately, which is great. But doing the context of the Mass, obviously that's the best way to do it. So in the book written by St. Louis de Montfort, as well as Father Mike Gately, as well as my book, we suggest that you choose a Marian feast day. I chose the feast day of the Assumption there in St. Mary's in Hillsborough, New Hampshire. That's where I did it, okay? Back in 1976. But we've decided that we would do it on this coming Monday, and it's a Marian feast day that is not, it's not a Marian solemnity like the Immaculate Conception or the Assumption or Christmas. And it is a Marian feast day that probably 99% of the Catholics don't even know it exists. However, here right now we happen to have some Filipinos. How many Filipinos here? Okay, probably, that's probably at least a third of you are Filipinos. This is a day in which you love, because it's the feast day of Our Lady of Perpetual Help. Amen? We have Filipinos here. Our Lady of Perpetual Help is like for the Mexicans, Our Lady of Guadalupe. Okay? It is. If you know anything about the Filipino culture, which was evangelized by the Franciscans, the Dominicans, and the Redemptorists. The Redemptorists were those who brought Our Lady Perpetual Help to the Philippines. And if you've ever been to the Philippines, Wednesday is the big day. Why? Because that's the day in which, if you go to Our Lady Perpetual Help in Manila, I've never been there, but I imagine it's packed, right? Right? We've got some Filipinos here. It's packed because people flock to that because they say their Novena prayers, they go to Mass, they make their confession, and they implore Our Lady of Perpetual Help to help them. And she helps. So that's the day that we've chosen, Our Lady of Perpetual Help, which will be this Monday, the 27th of June. 27th of June. And if you've never seen an image of Our Lady of Perpetual Help, it is, according to my humble opinion, I'm not a professional artist, but it's one of the most beautiful images, Mary, I've ever seen. It's a beautiful image, according to tradition, painted by St. Luke. Okay? According to tradition, painted by St. Luke. St. Luke, who knew Mary very well, he got the gospel, some of the gospel accounts, Luke 1 and 2, from Mary. He got a beautiful painting of Mary with the title, now, Our Lady Perpetual Help. So, I'd invite even, if you could, just to Google in some of the images of Our Lady Perpetual Help. We had the most beautiful image of Our Lady of Perpetual Help in our sacristy, but I sent it to my mother for her birthday. Now she's there, it's now there in Florida. But very beautiful image, Our Lady of Perpetual Help. And very meaningful, because one of the most common prayers I ever make is, help! Have you ever used that prayer? SOS, help! Help. Okay, so next Monday is a big day. So this is the last day of our formal lecture. This is the last day. So I'm going to try to get in as much as I possibly can in the limited time I have at my disposition. So next Monday is the day of your consecration. Now, if you like, you can bring a relative or a friend to the celebration. In my experience doing many consecrations, almost always when I'm doing this, usually the church is packed. I usually get 1,000 people in most of the celebrations that I've done the past 15 years. No? People invite their relatives and friends because if you bring them, it's a very beautiful celebration. It will inspire them to want to do it also. So we want them to do it also. They haven't done it. This will be a motivation. They'll say, Father Broom, when can you come to our parish to do it? Okay? And it's a good way to spread merit and devotion. So the Mass will be, so the consecration will be in the context of the Mass this Monday. And so after Mass, during the Mass, you'll be given a consecration prayer, a beautiful cardboard consecration prayer, which will be the prayer written not by Father Broom, even though I do write prayers, but the best consecration prayer ever written, my humble opinion, is by St. Louis de Montfort. I don't think there's anyone that comes close to the depth, the theology, the beauty of the prayer of St. Louis de Montfort, which, by the way, I have in my book, okay? So we'll give you a card, but if you want to just read it from the book, it's there at the very end of the book. It's long, but very beautiful. So I would invite you, even this week, you're going to be meditating upon the glorious mysteries this week. I would invite all of you, every meditation this week, end by praying that prayer of consecration. When St. Louis de Montfort wrote this, obviously the Holy Spirit was inspiring him. I've never read or prayed a more beautiful, complete prayer of Mary, encapsulating but basically everything we've been going through the past 4 weeks as this prayer. Now, the only objection people often have is this. Many of you were born in other countries, but I was born here. An American does not like to hear the word slavery. If you're brought up and raised in our culture, an American does not like the word slavery. St. Louis de Montfort says we're slaves of Jesus and Mary. I love that type of slavery, don't you? But Americans as a whole, they cringe at the word slavery. Because what happened before Abraham Lincoln? But slavery to Jesus and Mary is true freedom. If you ask me, Father Broom, do you want to be a slave? I say yes to Jesus, Mary, and Joseph. And I'm the happiest camper in the world to be the slave of Jesus, Mary, and St. Joseph. Because that's true freedom. Sin is true slavery. We give ourselves totally to Jesus, Mary, and Joseph. That's the true freedom of the sons and daughters of God. Amen? But that's usually the word that some people cringe at it. But if you understand what it just said, it's perfect. It's perfect. We're slaves of Jesus, Mary, and St. Joseph. Either we're slaves of them or slaves of sin. You make your choice. Okay? All right. So in the celebration, it's going to be very beautiful celebration. We'll have the incense, we'll have candles, we'll have our choir. It's going to be a very developed liturgy. So after my homily, you're going to be kneeling down and you'll pray that act of consecration. You'll pray that. And then you'll write down your name and you'll write down the date of the consecration. In my parish, every year, I have a group of about 10 Filipinos that made the consecration about 18 years ago, and every year they renew that consecration. Every year. So hopefully, every year you'll be renewing your consecration to Mary. Because consecration to Mary, it's not an event like a quinceañera, okay? An event that happened once in your life and then that's it. Rather, it is a style of life. It's not an event. It's a style of life where you're going to be And that, starting on Monday, your life is going to be different. Because you are going to belong fully and totally and unreservedly to the Blessed Virgin Mary. You're no longer going to belong to yourself. You are going to be belonging to Mary. So if you understand this and you live it out, it's a radical change. And if that's done, one of the fruits is great interior peace. If you belong to Mary, you belong to Jesus. You belong to Jesus, you belong to God the Father. You're in good hands. So it's not just an event, but rather it's a style of life. Style of life where you're giving yourself fully, totally, unreservedly to Jesus through Mary. You hear me? So every year you should be going deeper and deeper and deeper. Every year. Because love is not static. Love is dynamic. Okay? Dynamic. Those are two polar opposites. Static means you're stuck in the mud. Okay? Dynamic means that you're growing. Okay? You're growing, you're going deeper. And any spiritual writer will tell you, we're never staying in the same place. Either you're growing in your spiritual life, or you're going in the opposite direction. Spiritual life, it's not static. It's like rowing. If you don't row against the currents are going to pull you downstream. So constantly we're rowing against the current of the devil, the flesh, and the world. Okay. So after you make that consecration that you're going to be praying every day at the end of your meditation this week, your meditation this week will be the glorious mysteries. Then, after the consecration, you will be coming up in orderly lines. And you're going to be giving to me your exterior act of consecration. I purposely brought a big one because we have a big church here. Your exterior act of consecration is da 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 da. This is your exterior act of consecration. This is a very important part of the consecration program is this. This is called the scapular. Okay? I purposely brought a big one because the church is big. I brought a smaller one. This one was handmade by my mother. Okay? My mother made many scapulars in which she sews the miraculous medal in one and the medal of Saint Benedict in the other. Like that? Good idea? Follow in the footsteps of the saints, okay? Yeah, do it. Why didn't you? Okay. Women used to know how to sew, okay? Okay? All the women the age of my mother, they knew how to sew. They also knew how to cook. Okay? Really, that was part of being a woman, you know, 50 years ago, 60 years ago. You know how to sew and cook. All these household chores that young women don't do today because of modern technology. You know? But this is what she made. Miraculous metal. And Medal of Saint Benedict, the woolen cloth, okay, and it's brown, okay. The color has to be brown because there are many scapulars. There's a green scapular, there's a red scapular, okay, many. But the scapular you want to have is the scapular of Our Lady of Mount Carmel. Okay? This is a Carmelite parish, right? Okay. The scapular of Our Lady of Mount Carmel. So all of you will have your scapular. Now, to avoid confusion, we're going to have Father Thomas will be with us. He'll be the celebrant of the Mass. I'll be with him. We will possibly have a deacon. And you'll be coming up in line. And you will be giving us the scapular. Okay? Don't expect us to unwrap the scapular, though, okay? You have it open like this. All right? And also, come close, because sometimes I'm giving up the scapular and the people are a country mile away. Okay? Okay? Okay, I don't have bad breath, okay? So come close, give the scapular to me, then we'll be saying a short prayer. The prayer we say is, receive this scapular as a sign of your consecration to Mary. And we'll place the scapular over you. Probably at least 25% of the parishes in LA, I've placed scapulars on these people, no? Okay? So, you will have the scapular. And then, you'll be wearing the scapular until you're 125 years of age. I'm using hyperbole, literary flair to emphasize a point, according to Webster Dictionary, okay? Hyperbole, literary flair to emphasize a point, okay? But what I'm saying is you're going to wear the scapular always. Wear the scapular. And I would suggest that you make a strong scapular. Many of the ones you buy, they're very fragile and falls apart. I purposely have that because being an athlete, playing sports, if you give me a fragile one, I'll rip it apart in a month. So it's got to be, my mom would have shoelaces. These are shoelaces. Yeah? Knowing my luck, I'll probably rip it apart. No, it's strong. Otherwise, it falls apart. Then what do? You got to burn it, you got to bury it, huh? Make a nice, strong one. Maybe even make two. Make two. Maybe three. Now, you don't... Okay, this one, this big one here has images on it. Okay? You don't have to have the images on it. This one that my mom made doesn't have the images on it. So it's brown, it's wool. Some people will say, can I wear the metal? Not unless you're in the jungle in Brazil, okay? Okay? If you're in the jungle in Brazil, yes. But if not, the church wants you to wear the woolen one, okay? Like this. And then you wear it. Always. You take a shower, take it off, but then put it back on. Wear it always. So, the scapular. So, I'd like to explain the scapular a little bit more after I finish the whole ceremony, because maybe many of you don't really know what the scapular is. But wearing the scapular is the external sign of your consecration to Mary. Okay? It's the external sign of your consecration to Mary. And once you put it on, don't take it off. Except when you're taking a bath. Okay? I meet a lot of people that have made the consecration. Where's your scapular? I took it off. Well, go get it again. Put it on. I've had a lot of weird dreams and a lot of temptations where your scapula, and once you put the scapula, it won't happen. And it happens. These weird dreams, these temptations, well, you're not wearing the scapula. I told you. You put it on, Father. It's interesting. It's not a good luck charm. It's not a good luck charm. But it's a clear sign of your consecration to Mary. So let's move on to our ceremony, and I'll retrace my steps explaining it in greater detail. All right. So after you have your scapular, yeah, you put your scapular, you'll go back to your places, and the Mass will continue. So this is after the homily and after the formal consecration prayer, then we impose the scapular on you. Okay, the Mass proceeds as normal. Now, in the whole ceremony, the scapular is important. But there's something more important than the scapular. Can I tell you? Holy Communion. Amen? The scapular is a sacramental. The Eucharist is a sacrament. Okay? Scapular, great. Great. One communion is worth more than the whole universe. Corpus Christi, last Sunday, right? One communion is worth more than the whole universe. So the fact that you've got a priest leading this consecration is huge. Say, thank you, Father.
Thank you, Father.
You're welcome. That deserves an attitude of gratitude, I think. You got a priest leading a consecration. It has a very special, powerful blessing because you've got holy orders here. Huh? Holy orders, I know it's powerful. Huh? It's powerful. So, after Holy Communion, right now, Father Thomas is talking with Elvira and Grace and Mary. They're organizing our program. This is normally what we do. If Father Thomas has some other ideas, I will follow the pastor here. But most likely what we're going to be doing is the following. At the end of Mass, and people love this, at the end of Mass, we expose the Blessed Sacrament. You like that?
Yes.
We expose the Blessed Sacrament on the altar, in the monstrance, and then we're going to be living out our consecration, then we pray the Rosary. Hello? My consecration is based on meditating on the Rosary. Did you like the book? Okay. You haven't finished it, by the way, okay? It's based on the Rosary. So, even though you're doing your meditation, hopefully you're praying the Rosary every day anyway. Hello? Okay, today, I had a very busy day. Today, I already prayed six rosaries. Yeah, I prayed six rosaries. So you come up to me and say, Father, I didn't pray one rosary. Don't get close to me, no? No excuse. I will rebuke you. I'll rebuke you. There's no reason why you can't pray one rosary a day. I'm busier than you, and I prayed six. You know why? If you love someone, you give that person time, right? I love the Blessed Mother. Behind every successful man, there's a woman. I don't have a wife. I got the Blessed Mother. I got the Blessed Mother. If you love someone, you want to spend time with that woman, with that person. If you love If you love Mary, if you don't pray the rosary, you don't really love Mary. Let's get down to brass tacks. You don't. So, fall in love with the rosary. That's my book. That's my book. The rosary. So, never allow a day to go by in which you're not praying at least one. Okay, today I was in traffic. Today in the 6:05 and the 10, there was traffic. On Garfield, there was traffic. Guess what? I prayed four of my rosaries in the car. Nothing wrong with that, right? My car became a portable chapel. You can pray the rosary anywhere. But if you're consecrated to Mary, at least in my program, you cannot say you're living out your consecration just saying, I don't want to pray the rosary. No. That means you didn't understand anything of this consecration program. You're not having this great love for the rosary. So, we'll pray the rosary. Then, with time, we will pray the Chaplet of Divine Mercy. Have you ever heard of that? So I'll pray the chaplet. And then we will have a Marian Eucharistic procession. Okay? A Marian Eucharistic procession, which will be, consist of carrying the Blessed Sacrament, then Father Thomas has tried to get permission from the city of Alhambra to make a Eucharistic procession outside the church. So I don't know if he's gotten permission. I think he has. We've done it many times in Hawaiian Gardens, getting permission from the local authorities, trying to avoid the cholos that are all over the place in Hawaiian Gardens, no? And the pit bulls, too. And then, walking around the church, most likely once or twice, with the Blessed Sacrament. From the Blessed Sacrament, candles. Then we'll have the incense that we've been using all these masses. Hopefully you like incense, okay? And then we plan to bring a statue from my parish of Our Lady of Fatima. We have a beautiful statue of Our Lady of Fatima. We'll bring that. So we have Our Lady, we've got the candles, we've got the incense, we've got a couple of priests, we've got the Blessed Sacrament, and we're walking, we're making a Eucharistic procession around the church here. You like it? That's our plan. And you yourself will have a blessing, a special blessing, with the monstrance, which is the Eucharistic presence of Christ. Amen? At the very end, there's usually a little surprise. We have a surprise. If I tell you what the surprise is, it's not going to be a surprise. So I'm not going to tell you what it is, okay? So that's the program. You like it? That's the program. All right. So for lack of time, I think what I'll do in the meantime, in the short time that I have, I'd like to explain a little bit the importance of the scapular, then give you some ideas of how we're supposed to be living out our Marian consecration. Okay, so you're going to be bringing your scapular. After your consecration prayer, you'll be presenting the scapular to the priest. And we'll place the scapular on you. And you're going to be wearing the scapular as a sign of your consecration the rest of your lives. Okay, the rest of your lives. Now, I would invite there's a lot that can be read on the scapular, but for purpose of brevity, I would suggest that all of you try to purchase this little pamphlet. I could only find my pamphlet in Spanish, but I'll translate it in Spanish. If some of you speak Spanish, Vestido de Gracia. Okay? Vestido de Gracia if you speak Spanish. In English, it's called Garment of Grace. Okay, Garment of Grace. So, see if you can purchase this. And you sit down within it without any interruption. You could read the pamphlet in an hour. But I've never read any short, succinct, clear explanation of the scapular better than this. You can read it in an hour. Okay, in an hour. If you want to do more extensive studies on the scapular, there's more scholarly works, but for many of you who don't have too much time, this is the best. And you can get it in Spanish or English. Garment of Grace. Garment of Grace. So, I'll give you a literary synthetic summary of the booklet. It explains basically three parts. It explains the origin of it. Where does the scapular come from? Where does it come from? Okay, it explains the origin of it. Then second, about 70% of this booklet explains miracles that are attributed to this, to the scapular, miracles. So it just tells miracle after miracle after miracle after miracle after miracle that come as a result of the wearing of the scapular. Miracles, many miracles. Then the last part gives you a succinct catechesis on the scapular. So this literary short work is divided into three parts. The historical origin of it. Okay, the body of the work would be the miracles. And the last part would be the catechesis on it. So if you spend an hour reading this, you will understand the whole meaning of a scapular. Now, if you don't read it, a lot of people, it's a superstition. It's a talisman. It's a good luck charm. That's what I said earlier. Mariology, you have to have two parts. Devotion, and you have to have dogma. I went through the dogmas, remember? The Immaculate Conception, the Perpetual Virginity, the Divine Maternity, the Assumption. Then I said, also you have to have devotion, like a Olive Garden salad. Okay, the Olive Garden salad, if you don't have the condiments, it's not tasty. But if you got the condiments, Mamma Mia, okay? So you have to have a proper Mariology, has to have both devotion and dogma. Devotion and dogma. So, if we don't understand the scapular, it can degenerate into a type of superstition. That's not what it is. So, briefly, the most important part to understand in the history of the scapular is the person of an English saint. His name is Saint Simon Stock. Okay? S-T-O-C-K. Saint Simon Stock. Saint Simon Stock was a Carmelite. He was a Carmelite priest. He was a superior of the Carmelites in England. Okay? This is before Henry VIII, in the 1200s. The Carmelites back then were in decline. Okay? They were about to fall apart. So what happened was, Our Lady appeared to Saint Simon Stock. She appeared to Saint Simon Stock and said, look, if you want the Carmelites not to fall apart, you have to take this scapular and you have to wear the scapular. Now if you notice, the priests here and the Carmelites up the street, they wear a scapular. But it's a big scapular. It almost looks like an apron. Okay? It almost looks like an apron. That's a scapular. So the one that you're going to be wearing, you can wear the same size if you like. But the scapular that we encourage you to wear is about this size. So Saint Simon Stock had this apparition, and Mary said, here's what I want you to wear. This is the exterior sign of your consecration to me. So he took it, he put it on, and he started to promote among all the Carmelites back in the 13th century, this is in the 1200s, right around the time of Saint Dominic and Saint Francis, the scapular. So the religious Carmelites started to wear the scapular, and guess what happened to the Carmelites? Father Thomas and the other priests would tell it much better than me because they're Carmelites. But anyway, the Carmelite order that seemed to be like a Titanic that was sinking, it started to grow in number and in strength and in sanctity. And to this very day, you have Carmelite nuns up the street, you got the contemplatives up the street a little bit further, you got the Carmelites here. So, not to say that the scapular is the most important thing for the Carmelites, but the scapular is very important. Very important. So, that's probably the most important historical data for all of you. The word scapular comes from Latin. Scapula. Okay? How's your Latin? Okay? Which means, Nancy? Shoulder, that's what it means. Scapula means shoulder because you put it over your shoulders. All right. So let me tell you one or two of the stories to whet your appetite. Then you buy it and you can read the other 15 miracles. All right. Which one should I tell you? Okay, I'll tell you two or three of my favorites. I love this booklet because the miracles, they're charming. But they just show how Mary loves us, and Mary is very, very powerful. Okay, Mary loves us, and Mary is very, very powerful. Okay, here's the first one. There's a ship at sea, and you have on that ship, on that ship, all Protestants, except one Irish Catholic, okay? All Protestants. You know what a Protestant is, right? Tell a Protestant to take this and the rosary, they'll nail you to the cross, huh? They say that's idolatry, right? You know them, no? Any type of sacramental, especially Calvary and those, they don't want anything to do with statues and sacramentals and all that. They say that's the practice of idolatry. Okay? So, yeah, one Irish Catholic on the boat, surrounded by all these Protestants. guess what happens? God sends a huge storm. Huge storm. And the ship is about to sink. And they're all terrified. It's like the book of Jonah. Okay? They're all terrified. So, our friend the Irish Catholic is there, and they're looking at him, and he takes off the scapular, and the storm is about to sink the ship. And what he does is, and the scapular falls right in the midst of the tempest. And all the Protestants are looking. As soon as it hits the water, the storm comes down. And the last wave, like a human hand, kicks the scapular back into the ship. And the Protestants were converted, they became Catholics. It's almost comical, but look at the power of Mary. That's the power of Mary. Who would have ever thought in a million years that that would be the means by which these Protestants would be converted to become Catholics? It's the power, and it's not so much a superstition. He threw it into the sea. He knew Mary was going to do something. Would it happen exactly like that? Maybe he didn't know. But he knew that that was going to be powerful enough because of his faith in Mary to calm the storm and to convince these Protestants that their religion is not complete. The complete religion is Catholicism. Amen? So Mary works miracles. Mary works miracles, if you believe. And what I really believe is going to happen as a result of your consecration to Mary, are you listening? Are you? Your children are going to be converted. Amen? That's even more important. All of you are worried about your children, right? Is it going to happen right away? Maybe not, but your children are going to be brought back to Christ through Mary. It's going to happen. Mary will bring your children back to the heart of Jesus Christ if you live out your consecration. And if you live out your consecration, you stop worrying about your children. Because a lot of you are worry warts, right? You're getting gray hair. Maybe you're losing your hair, huh? But then what happens? You give your children to Mary. Why worry about it? Every time you're tempted to worry, okay, Mary, they're yours. Mary, they're yours. They're yours. They don't belong to me. They belong to you. And I know that you have them in your heart. And I know that they'll be converted. It'll happen. That's one of the most important parts of your consecration, is you're suffering because you see your children drifting in the wrong direction. Right? So that's part of the consecration, is giving to Mary what's most at heart in your heart. Okay, second miracle. Who brought the devotion of Our Lady of Perpetual Help to the Philippines would be the Redemptorists. Right? The Redemptorists were founded by St. Alphonse Liguori. St. Alphonse Liguori. So, in your growth in devotion to Mary, this means that we're going to be trying to get to know Mary better. Because you can't love someone you don't know. Okay, the best book ever written on the Blessed Virgin Mary was written by Saint Alfonso Liguori. The name of the book is The Glories of Mary. Okay? So hopefully, as a result of your consecration, you will buy that book. And once you start to read it, you're going to start to weep. It's so beautiful, you're going to fall. Tears will well up in your eyes. Every word in that book that saint wrote is inspired by the Holy Spirit. Saint Alphonsus. When he was in his mid-60s, the Holy Father said, I want you to be a bishop. And his health had declined. He said, Your Holy Father, I can't be a bishop. I'm just not feeling up to it. You know what the Pope said? Your shadow is enough to sanctify your whole diocese. I'll say that again. I don't think I've ever heard a better compliment than that in my life. Your shadow is enough to sanctify the whole diocese. His shadow. Not to mention his person. His shadow is enough. Shadow is enough to sanctify the whole diocese of Santa Agata de' Goti there in Naples. No? So, St. Alphonsus came out to celebrate the Mass. And if you've ever read the lives of the saints have a lot of friends, but they have a lot of enemies. You read the lives of the saints? They tried to shoot and kill John Bosco more than once. They tried to kill John Paul II more than once. They tried to kill St. Charles Borromeo. They shot at him. So, guess what they tried to do to St. Alphonsus? But he was celebrating the Mass. So when he was celebrating the Mass, someone in the back of the church pulled out a gun and they shot him. Guess where the bullet went? It went right through his chasuble, which is the exterior garment. Went through his alb. This white garment is called my alb. It went through his black clergyman. It went through his t-shirt. And the bullet was embedded in the scapular over his heart. And it never touched his heart. True story. Read it. True story. That bullet should have killed him. You know, cloth stopping a bullet? That's impossible. It was the hand of Mary. It was the hand of Mary that held him back. Okay, one more story. Okay, you're going to laugh at this story and think that it's not possible, but miracles happen. There was a man that was not living a very good life. He was walking along a railroad track. He slipped on the railroad track and the train cut him in two pieces. On his upper part was a scapular. And someone came, he was cut in two pieces, he said, call the priest. Even though his body was cut into two pieces. So they called the priest. He went to confession. And then after that he died.
Yep.
You probably think that that's impossible. Humanly speaking, that's impossible. But that happened because he was wearing the scapular and he was not in the state of grace. He would have gone to hell. So Our Lady allowed him to live so that he could go to confession. And right after he goes to confession, he dies. These are stories. Stories that are miracles that show the power of the intercession of Mary. So, you're going to be wearing your scapular, and the scapular is an external sign of your consecration to Mary. Like a uniform. How do you know that we're a priest? Because we wear priestly garments. How do you know a soldier? Soldier is going to be wearing his uniform. How do you know that they're a Dodger? Because they wear blue. How do you know that he's a Yankee? Pin stripes. These are external signs of belonging to a certain profession, a certain team, a certain vocation. So your scapular is a sign of your consecration to Mary. All right. What I'd like to do now is I'd like to tell you a story of a Marian saint, which basically exemplifies or illustrates how to live out your consecration to Mary. I think this story is probably the best way to illustrate in a concrete way how to live out your consecration to Mary. In 1830, there was a nun in the city of Paris, in a convent, the Visitation Nuns, and her name was, in French, Catherine. In Spanish, Catalina. In English, we call her Catherine. Her last name was La Bourrée. Okay, Sister Catherine La Bourrée. So, she was in bed at night, and someone woke her up, said, "Get out." It was her guardian angel. Guardian angel told her to get dressed, and the guardian angel said, "Follow me." So she followed the guardian angel, where? Into the chapel. Into the chapel. Now there in the chapel, in the chair of the priest, see there's the presidential chair right there. There, sitting in the chair of the priest, was the Blessed Virgin Mary. Now, of all of the Marian approved apparitions, you've got Guadalupe, you've got Fatima, you've got Lourdes. This is charming. This apparition is unique. There's no apparition that's equal to this one. In this, that a lady, she's sitting there in the chair of the priest, and Catherine comes in and sees this beautiful woman sitting in the prayer of the priest at about midnight, and Our Lady is saying, "Come closer, come closer, come closer, come closer, still closer, don't be afraid, come closer, come closer." Guess how close she comes? She kneels down in front of the Blessed Mother. She puts her hands in the lap of Mary. There's no other apparition in the history of the Church where you have actually someone who's actually touching Mary. Lourdes, Mary's up there in the cave, right? What about Fatima? She's up there in the oak tree. What about in Guadalupe? She's up there in the sky, right? With this one, she's kneeling down, and she kneels in front of the Blessed Mother, and she places her hands in the lap of Mary. And then they talk. She talks to Mary, and Mary talks to her. She talks to Mary, and Mary talks to her. They enter into a very profound, intimate conversation. That's the essence of your consecration. That's the essence of your consecration in a nutshell. That's what it means. You are called to be Catherine Laborate. If you know, like another image, some of you have seen Marcellina Panavino. Have you? Same idea. Unless you become like a little child, you cannot enter the kingdom of heaven. I repeat, unless you become like a little child, you cannot enter the kingdom of heaven. Marcellino opened up and he talked to Jesus from the depths of his heart. Now, what went on in that conversation? One of the things I think I'd like to do when I get to heaven is I'd like to seek out Catherine of Laborate and say, what did you say to her? Or maybe ask the Blessed Mother, what was that conversation about? And I think what Mary is going to say is, the conversation, what it was about, is exactly what you were doing with me after your consecration in St. Therese in 2022 in Alhambra in California. After that consecration, you became, like Catherine Laborate, you became another Marcellina Panavino. That's probably what Mary's going to say to you. You became Marcellina Panavino. You became Catherine Laborate, because from that moment on, you started to come to me and to talk to me and to open up to me and to thank me and to love me and to confide in me and to rejoice with me and also, my friends, to weep in the arms of Mary. We all have our joys. We all have our sorrows. We all have our crosses. We all have our struggles. Part of your consecration is go to Mary, open up and talk to Mary about what's most deeply troubling you. And Mary will listen to you. She's known as our life, our sweetness, and our hope. Open up and talk to her. So whenever you have a problem, you know where to go. That's what all of you should have in your home, the image that you love most. If you're Filipino, you probably have Our Lady of Perpetual Help. If you're Mexican, you probably have Our Lady of Guadalupe. Some of you might have Our Lady of Fatima. Some of you might have Our Lady of Lourdes. Some of you might have all of them. But you should have that image of Mary, and you open up and you talk to Mary. Talk to Mary, confide in Mary, love Mary, trust Mary, and Mary will bring you to the very heart of our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. Amen. So that's my message tonight. I hope that all of you will prepare yourself to make one of the most important days of your life, your consecration to Mary. And it's not, as I said, it's not simply an event. It is a new style of life you're going to start to live out on Monday. May God bless you, and I'll pray for you that you'll prepare yourself for this all-important day in your life. Amen. Hail Mary, full of grace, the Lord is with thee. Blessed art thou among women. Blessed is the fruit of thy womb, Jesus. Holy Mary, Mother of God, pray for our sinners, now and at the hour of our death. The Lord be with you. The intercession of Our Lady of the Rosary, the Immaculate Heart of Mary, the Sacred Heart of Jesus. May God bless you in the name of the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit. Amen.